This is Dr. Benny Tate, and I would like to thank you for tuning in to this week's message at Rock Springs Church. Wherever you are, I hope that this message encourages you and helps you grow in your walk with God. Here's this week's message from Rock Springs Church.
A few weeks ago, I started thinking about old school. And I started thinking about all the advancements, you know, even the advancements that I've experienced in my lifetime. Somebody said, we've got a house and a bath. Folks, I can remember when we had a house and a path. Yeah, see, I'm from Tennessee. They still believe the earth's flat, wrestling's real, and nobody's walked on the moon. Amen? I know what it is, folks, to be on the phone, pick up the phone to make a call, and somebody say, get off this line, I'm talking. It was a party line. And then you would disconnect the receiver and listen to everything they were saying. I can remember, folks, we didn't have a riding lawnmower. This is not an exaggeration. I've cut grass with a lawnmower that didn't have a motor. Didn't have a motor. I mean, literally cut grass with it. I remember staying with some people one time, and I said, I'm thirsty. And they said, well, go in there to the bowl. And I went in there to the bowl, and I took a dipper, and I dipped in the bowl and got me a drink of water, put the dipper back, and then somebody followed me, took the very same dipper and got them a drink. I can remember that. I can remember when it came time to take a bath, the wash tub was filled up with water, and we got in the wash tub. I'm grateful for the advancements. I'm grateful for the advancements we have in church. I'm so grateful we have air conditioning, that you have a comfortable seat. You don't mind me preaching a long message. Notice I got that in. You've got a comfortable seat. Glad we've got the words on the screens. I'm grateful for the just wonderful musically. I mean, folks, we've got some of the best music. Some of the best music. I mean, at our campuses, at Rock Springs campuses, I mean, it's great, great music. Great, great music. I'm grateful for all the advancements. But folks, let me say something. I think there's some things that we ought to go back to also. I think, see, methods are many, principles are few. Methods are always changing. It's our principles that never do. And there's things that we need to go back to. We never want to get away from. And I want to make sure we never get away from some of these things. And I want to talk to you about one of those today. I want you to take your copy of God's Word, your iPad, your iPhone, your whatever you have. I want you to stand. If you don't have any of that, the Scripture, because of the advancements, it's right here in front of you. 1 John 1:7 says this. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, cleanseth us from all sin. I want you to know something today, folks. I want you to know something. I'll never share a more important message with you than I'll share with you today. So, Pastor Benny, we're going to have a lot of fun, aren't we? I don't know about that. But I'll promise you, I'll never share a more important message with you than I'll share with you today. There was a time that Billy Graham was a young preacher. Billy Graham was just getting started out, good looking. Hollywood wanted him to be in movies and had that great voice and had charisma, and obviously God's hand was on this wonderful young man. And there was a professor at Cornell University who went to Dr. Graham. I guess at that time he was just Billy. He went to Billy and he said, Billy, you have all the right components, but there's one thing you need to do. You need to leave the blood out of your preaching. You need to leave that slaughterhouse religion behind. And you'll go far. You'll go far if you'll leave that. Billy Graham said, after I heard those words, I was more determined to preach on the blood of Jesus than ever before. After I heard those words, You know what's interesting, folks? 415 times the blood's mentioned in the Bible. But process. When do you turn on your television or turn on your radio and somebody says, I'm going to preach on the blood? When's the last time? Oh, you may have heard it mentioned, but not a full message. When have you heard anybody give a full message to the blood of Jesus? And I say this, folks. If there's anything that ought to be important to us, it's the blood of Jesus. If there's anything that ought to be important to us, it's the blood of Jesus. Now, what I want to do, I want to give you some history. I want to give you some history of the blood, and then I want to bring it and I want to talk to you how it's relevant to you and how it's imperative to you. Now, in the beginning of time, there was a man by the name of Adam. There was a woman by the name of Eve. And God said to them, and the Lord commanded the man, Genesis chapter 2, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. And here's what I'm going to say, folks. Man's always believed that God's keeping something from man. That God's keeping. Because, see, folks, that's what the devil will tell you. You're missing out on something. Many of you are struggling with things right now, and the devil's telling you, you're missing out. You're missing out. You need to partake because you're missing out. But the Bible says God commanded the man. Now, get this down, men. This is not the message. But he commanded the man. Every man has a responsibility for spiritually leading the home. Every man. By the way, she can't follow a parked car. Every man has the responsibility of leading the home. And after man's sin, God came into the garden. Adam and Eve had sinned. And God said, where art thou, Adam? Where you at, Adam? We're going to have a heart-to-heart. We're going to have a come-to-Jesus meeting. Where you at? And this is what I say to every one of us men. Women, you've got to provide a vacuum for him to lead. There are women that Winston Churchill couldn't lead. No, you say, well, he's got to step up. Perhaps you need to step back. No. Perhaps you need to step back and allow him to lead. And then when she steps back, Leroy, you step up. Amen? By the way, that's good preaching. That don't cost you anything. All right. But anyway. But look. But in the day you eat of, for in the day that thou eat of, thou shalt surely die. So what God say? Because they sinned, there had to be death. Because they sinned, there had to be death. Now look what Leviticus says. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. This is what God said. For I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that make an atonement for your souls. What God say, even from the very beginning, the only atonement for sin is blood. The only atonement. I didn't say that, folks. God said that. So now wait. After Adam and Eve sinned, before they sinned, understand this. They ran around naked. They had no shame. They had no guilt. They had no condemnation. But after they sinned, the Bible says they recognized their nakedness. Let me tell you what sin will do. Sin will create guilt in your life. It will create shame in your life. They realized their nakedness, but look what God did. And Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them. So, well, Pastor, that's interesting. No, you got to understand, what was God doing? He was offering up a blood sacrifice for their sins. God was making a covering for their sins. Now, Adam and Eve, the first man and woman, one day, apparently, they started talking. And they said, we're going to raise a little Cain when we get able, amen? And they had two boys. And look what the Bible says about those boys. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. What did he do? He went out there and got some of his best vegetables and he brought them as a sacrifice for his sin. But look, But Abel also brought the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof. Wait. And the Lord had respect unto Abel. Why did he respect Abel's sacrifice and not Cain's? Because remember, from the beginning of time, it had to be a blood sacrifice to cover sin. Some of you are old enough to have watched the Ten Commandments. Charlton Heston. They were in bondage. The children of Israel were in bondage for 400 years. And God said to the children of Israel, I'm going to set you free. But he said, now you got to understand something. In order for me to allow you to go free and there to be an exodus, I'm going to cause a disturbance. I'm going to cause a major disturbance to distract Pharaoh and all of his army. So he said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to come through the land. You know, we talk about the death angel. But if you read the Bible close, the Bible never speaks of a death angel. God said, I'm going to come through the land. I'm going to come through the land. And he said, I'm going to smite or I'm going to kill the firstborn of Egypt and the firstborn of their animals. I'm going to do that. But he said to the children of Israel, I want you to do something. You take a lamb. You take a lamb that's less than a year old. It can't have a spot or a blemish on it. And he said, you sacrifice that lamb. Then you take the blood and you put it above your door. You put it on each side of your door. Process, folks. Above the door, each side of the door, across. You put it above your door and on each side of your door. Now look what God said will happen. The scripture. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night. I will smite the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I'm the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. I want you to understand, it was still a blood sacrifice. The temple, many of you have gone to Israel with me to the Temple Mount. But the first temple was constructed by Solomon. And when the temple was constructed, ladies and gentlemen, they were constantly offering sacrifices. They were offering sacrifices. I mean, they would offer a burnt offering. They would offer a guilt offering sacrifice. They would offer a fellowship sacrifice. They were constantly offering blood sacrifices on the Temple Mount. But once a year, there was a day called the Day of Atonement. The Jewish people still celebrate it. I'll give you the word for it. Yom Kippur. They still celebrate it to this day. Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. Look what the Bible says. It says, and this shall be an everlasting salute to you to make an atonement for the children of Israel and for all their sins once a year. And he did as the Lord commanded Moses. Let me explain. I'll get to the heart of it. Once a year, the high priest would take a lamb without spot and without blemish. He would walk through the outer court of the temple. He would walk through the inner court. He would go to the Holy of Holies, the place where only the high priest could go. He would take the blood and he would sprinkle it on the mercy seat, making atonement for the sins of the people once a year. Here's what I want you to understand. Everything that I've described to you, ladies and gentlemen, was a charge card. Let me explain. You go out to lunch today, and they hand you a bill, and you give them a charge card. You say, Pastor Benny, I'm paying for the bill. No, no. You're covering the bill, but you're not paying for the bill. Because in a few days, amen? In a few days, you're going to get the bill. And then you've got to pay the bill. The charge card was just a covering for the bill. But it was not payment for the bill. Well, all this was covering for sin. But Pastor Benny, what about payment for sin? It was just covering it to the next year, to the next year, to the next year. Well, let me explain. John the Baptist was at the Jordan River baptizing people, where I've baptized many of you through the years. And John the Baptist looked on the hillside and he saw Jesus Christ. And this is what he said, ladies and gentlemen. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. I'm preaching better than you're responding. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away, no longer covers, but ladies and gentlemen, takes away forever, cast into the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered against us again. See, when the tabernacle and the temple was here, the high priest was constantly offering up sacrifice. He was continually offering up sacrifice for sin, continually offering up sacrifice for sin, because it was just a covering. And when he would get tired, somebody else would stand up, and they were just continually offering up sacrifice for sin. Look what the Bible says in Hebrews. Verse 11 says, "And every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifice." The reason why, folks, it says standeth, because you got to understand something. In the tabernacle and in the temple, there were no seats, because the priest could never sit down. They were constantly offering up sacrifice. "And every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins." But stick with me. "But this man, Jesus Christ, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God." He did something the priest could never do. The priest could never sit down. But Jesus offered one sacrifice on the cross, and ladies and gentlemen, he sat down. Now let me tell you something. I could not preach on anything any more important than I'm preaching on today, because I'm preaching on the blood of Christ. You say, "Pastor Benny, I'm not into that slaughterhouse religion." Well, this is not the church for you, folks, because we're going to stick with the blood. It's still the blood. Because, see, it's sacred blood. It's sacred blood. You know, I thought that if a mother, I'm not a medical doctor, but I thought if a mother had a child, that blood between that mother and child would be interchangeable, but that's not true. That mother may have a blood type, and that child may have a totally different blood type. Because what's paramount in that child's blood type is the blood of the father. It's the blood of the father. That's why, folks, they can do tests and determine who's the father of that child. Who's the father of that child? Because the blood will reveal it. Now, understand something. Understand something. You know why Jesus had to be virgin born? Because, folks, if he had not been virgin born, he would have had an earthly father's blood. Well, Pastor Benny, where did he get his blood? From God. From God. You said, "Pastor, I've never thought about that." Well, look what the scripture says in Acts 20 and 28. "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." Folks, when we're singing about the blood, we're singing about the blood of God. It's the blood of God. What washes away your sins? The blood of God. Because I want you to understand, it's sacred blood. But let me tell you something else. Not only is it sacred blood, it's shed blood. Somebody said, Pastor, he spilled his blood. Oh, he didn't spill a drop. He shed his blood. It was not an accident. It was on purpose. He shed his blood. You say, well, Pastor, who took his life? Was it the Romans? Was it the Jews? Who took his life? Nobody took his life. Philippians 2 and 8 says, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Nobody took his life, ladies and gentlemen. You know how much he loved you? He loved you this much. He loved you this much that he gave his life for you. See, I want you to understand, his blood is sacred. I want you to understand, his blood is shed. But I want you to understand, his blood is saving blood. It's saving blood. In whom we have redemption, Ephesians 1 and 7 says. In whom we have redemption through his blood. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. What is grace? It's God's riches at Christ's expense. I want you to know that the blood of Jesus will save anybody. I want you to know, no matter what a person's done, the blood of Jesus will wash away your sins. I want you to know that the blood of Jesus is greater than any sin. I love what Spurgeon said. He said, morality may keep a man out of jail, but only the blood of Jesus will keep a man out of hell. Morality may keep a man out of jail, but only the blood of Jesus will keep a man out of hell. He came as he did, virgin born, to be what he was, sinless, to do what he did, die for you and me. The Son of God became the Son of Man, that the sons of men might become the sons of God. I don't know about you folks, but my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Somebody said, have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? What will wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What will make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stain. That old song says, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. Would you be free from the burden of sin? There is power in the blood, power in the blood, wonder-working power in the blood. Somebody said, when I nailed, the blood fell. Sin lost its power. The Lamb had prevailed. What made all hell tremble? Rang heaven's bell. When I knelt, the blood fell. Thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of the blood. It's what set me free. Oh, folks, let me tell you something. It's sacred blood. It's shed blood. It's saving blood. But I want to listen. If you leave right now, you've missed the most important part of the message, the part you may need the most. It's sustaining blood. It's sustaining blood. Now, wait. 1 John 1 and 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth. Cleanseth. Now wait, folks. That's in the present tense. That's not in the past tense. It didn't say has cleansed. But it cleanseth. It keeps on cleansing. The blood of Jesus Christ doesn't lose its power. Now what does it keep on? But Pastor Benny, since I became a Christian, I've messed up greatly. Join the crowd. But I want you to know something. The blood of Jesus Christ keeps on cleansing. It keeps on cleansing. I'm grateful in my life that Jesus didn't come to rub my sins in. He came to rub them out. Somebody said, Pastor, if I got what I deserved before I accepted Christ, I'd be in hell. You look at me. Get that camera up real close. If I got what I deserve since I've been saved, I'd still be in hell. There's been many times I messed up. You said, Brother Benny, no, you've got it all together. No, I'm trying to win the grace race. That blood just keeps on cleansing. If it wasn't for my Methodist dignity, I'd shout. Thank God it keeps on cleansing. I believe if a mosquito would get me right now, it would leave singing, there's power in the blood. There's power in the blood. It just keeps on cleansing, folks. Just keeps on cleansing. You say, Pastor, you don't know what I've done. No, it doesn't matter what you've done. All sin. When I was in Bible college, I had homiletics, hermeneutics, had all those courses, and I did some research on the word all, and this is what I found out. After looking at it in the Greek and Hebrew, it means all. Just keeps on cleansing. Keeps on cleansing. Keeps on cleansing. Keeps on cleansing. You say, but Pastor, you don't understand it. I mean, my sin's terrible. No. It just keeps on cleansing. It keeps on cleansing. That's the blood of Jesus. That's what God's blood does. I ran across this quote. I'm almost done. Joyce Meyer said, when you sin and the devil comes and tells you you're no good. And by the way, that's what he'll do. He'll attack your personhood. He'll come and he'll say, you're no good. You're no good. You're a terrible excuse for an individual. And he tells you you're no good. This is what she said. You don't have to take the guilt and condemnation he wants to put on you. No. You can immediately confess your sin to God. Thank him for forgiving you and cleansing you with the blood of Jesus and move forward in the victory of his grace and forgiveness. Thank God today for the blood of Jesus Christ. Hey, can we do something? Let me tell you something. Hey, they stood yesterday all over the world, all over the nation. They stood all over the nation clapping their hands for football teams, which will make not much difference in anything. Can we get up off our feet, stand and clap for the blood of Jesus Christ? The blood that washed away my sins and washed away your sins. The blood that took our sins away. You say, Pastor Benny, I've made a mess. I want you to know God's blood will continue to cleanse your sin. It continually cleanses our sin. Folks, I said, I'm going to preach 1 week on the blood of Jesus. I said, no, I've about decided I need about 3 weeks on the blood of Jesus. I need about 3 weeks just on the blood of Jesus. Because, folks, what I'm going to talk to you about next week is what the blood of Jesus does in our lives. Do you realize the Bible tells us that the guilt and condemnation of our past deeds, the blood of Jesus can set our minds free from all that. You don't want to miss next week. I'm going to be here. I'm coming to hear it. Yeah. No. I'm coming to hear it.
Friend, I trust the message today has spoken to your heart. And if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I want to challenge you to do that today. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make. And I've often said, it's as simple as ABC. A stands for acknowledge. You've got to acknowledge that you're a sinner. B stands for believe. You've got to believe that Christ and His blood was shed on the cross for your sin. And then C, you simply must confess your sins to Him. I want to encourage you right now to repeat a simple prayer with me. I'll pray the prayer, you repeat it with me if you'd like to accept Christ as your personal Savior. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. But God, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm so sorry, I want to change. I believe that You died for my sin, and I confess my sin to You right now. Come into my heart, Lord, and forgive me of all my sin. Now thank You, Lord, for forgiving me. Thank You for coming in to my life. Amen. Friend, congratulations on the greatest decision that you'll ever make. And I want you to know, this decision is not based on how you feel right now, because God's not a feeling. He's a fact. This decision is based on the fact that you have done what God's Word says you must do to have eternal life. So congratulations on the greatest decision you'll ever make, and thank you for being with us today. God bless you, and we'll see you soon.